Agape is also a sacrificial love. We find that especially in Ephesians 5:22 and further in the love that a husband has for his wife. So what is true love? Well, in the Strong's definition, true love or agape love is that of affection or benevolence or of charity. If you have a new King James, if you have a King James Version Bible, it uses the word charity. But I believe that's probably the only place you'll find that. Still means the same thing as it means in love that we find in Ephesians, love that we find in John 3:16. I consider that word plainly to be understood as an unselfish love with the assumption that nothing is required in return. And the word benevolence is a variation of that same thing. That is the love that God shows us. So how do we better understand this agape love? We can understand better what it means to love unconditionally and unselfishly by understanding our own ability to be loved. Now, I found through a prison class, as we studied Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, is that what if I don't love myself? And that's a condition to this scripture. And this subject doesn't get talked about much. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So, given those terms, verse 37, love God. That's job one, okay? Verse 39, though, says love your neighbor as yourself. At first, this seems that the yourself, the me in the third is third in this order. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. Love God, we get that. Love our neighbor. How do we do that? We're commanded to love them like we love ourselves, right? So let's look at verse 39 again. The second commandment is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to propose we consider the order in which we are given this text, that we are not third in the order of the verse, but the second. Not that in the end it matters, but for the sake of me making my point, we're going to look at it from this perspective. Jesus implies we must love ourselves before we can love our neighbor. In fact, I believe that is exactly what Jesus is saying. We need to love ourselves before we can ever expect to love our neighbor. I'm not talking about being narcissistic, you know, or selfish, self-centered. That's not what I'm talking about. To love our neighbor right, we have to love ourselves right. That fact begs the question, how can we love our neighbor if we don't love ourselves? And to consider this matter even further, is it even possible to love our neighbor if we don't love ourselves? So how much do you love yourselves? How much do you love you? How much, I'm going to go even further. How can I love God and how can I love my neighbor if I don't love myself? I know I'm wearing this point out, but to completely understand what I've been getting at, we need to go back to verse 37 and ask ourselves, do you love yourself as much as God loves you? You should. You were bought. You've not only been bought, you've been adopted. Proved your value by sending a son to die for you. He loves you in spite of not loving him and not loving your neighbor and not loving yourself, which is a risk we should not be willing to take, not any longer. From a scriptural view, one of the most widely noted and used passages on what love is, can be found is in 1 Corinthians 13, which I previously read. Sadly, the details in 1 Corinthians are contrary to the cultural norms of today. Cultural norm says love is arbitrary. Hey, we can make it mean anything we want. They want us to believe that love does more harm than good. They tell us love hurts. Songs are sung about it. They write poems and books about it. Its negative effects, but that's not true. Loneliness hurts. Rejection hurts. Pride hurts. Envy hurts. Everyone gets these things confused with love. But in reality, love is the only thing in this world that covers up all the pain and can make us feel wonderful again. Love is the only thing in this world that doesn't hurt. I came across an article in Tired Fierce Marriage by Ryan and Selena Frederick. They write, "Love is not fleeting, feelings are. Love is many things, but fleeting is not one of them. Love says, I will stay by your side when no one else will. Love says, I will walk with you through any circumstances, even when the outcome is uncertain. That's love. How do we know this is love? Jesus. Jesus loves us despite our sin. He loves broken people. And he brings us close despite our being unlovable. Not only did we do nothing to earn Christ's love, we actually do things daily that would push him away from us. Yet he still loves us. He, knowing every sin and shortcoming we would have from the day we are born until the day we die, still chose to give himself as payment for our sin. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died. That's love. And that's how we know that love is something we act upon, not something that is fleeting and unpredictable. Love is predictable. Love is sure. Love is there no matter what, just like Christ is. And by what measure do we know this? Agape. It's God's pure love. Where do I find myself today? Am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving myself? I put myself in Paul's shoes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I did not know love then as I know love now. Knowing Jesus Christ does that. Now I can love my wife better, love my children better, love God better, and love my Savior better because I'm worth loving. God proves it. Jesus proves it. I thank God. I thank my mother. I thank my wife. I thank my children, and I thank my church family for all the love they show me. And I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the greatest example of love that you and I will ever know, that the world will ever know. Will I ever love God like he deserves to be loved? Am I loving others like I should? Am I loving myself? I'm not completely there. God's help, I'm getting there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly lit, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. Grace of thee. John Wayne goes on in his explanation to his daughter Becky. I can't explain it anymore. So if you're in need, let us know. That was short and sweet. Bob Marchett probably made you proud today, buddy. That's a 20-minute window there. But I don't think I could have explained it any better than that, at least from my perspective, what love is, what true love is, how God loves me, to appreciate the love that God has for me. That Christ died for me, love that I'm to show others, and love myself in the process. Christ died for me. He died for you. We need to go forward in believing that, living our lives in accord. So if you have any questions, if you're in need of any advice, anything that might help you in your walk, your understanding of Scripture, call the church, call an elder, call me. I'll do the best that I can. We're blessed with a church that's full of wisdom and full of love. So be safe, and I love you, God loves you. So were we ready for a song? I didn't tell Jake how short it was. I didn't know how short it was. Might have to go back to 11 font, Randy. Anyway.
Got something on my mind. It has been a long time since we've had snow of this caliber. And we know that snow puts nitrogen in the ground and makes green grass greener. It makes everything better. So while some of us don't like snow, it's for the good of all of us. And thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, we ask that the two political parties of this country come to some sort of agreement where there is not such backbiting and bickering and fighting continuously. I think we're